So the last 2 weeks, we've discussed tools to help us understand how we can share our faith in a way that isn't offensive to someone or maybe keeps them not feeling like they're being attacked for who they are, but instead of just looking to accept who God is and what God has declared as being good, instead of focusing on the negatives that they may possess in their lives, focusing on the hope that they can have in their lives. And so today we're going to end this little series on evangelism and sharing our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ with a section from Acts. Now I could pull from all sorts of different places. Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching my commands and keeping them and knowing that I will be with you until the ends of the days. Would be fitting as the great commencement or what we're commanded to go do, but that's just a basic Christian decree, is to share the gospel, to share that joy and hope that's in us. It's one of those things, as I was talking to someone last week, is we hear it all the time, but what do we do to apply it? What does it actually truly mean? And I think in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and you can read 40 if you want. It was kind of a toss on there, so I kind of pulled it out of the section, but it's going to be in your breakout. Gives us the embodiment of what it means to truly go and make disciples, truly go and share the gospel. And so if you could, please stand with me as we read Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went. And behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, or at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask that your word touches our heart, that we are changed by it, that we are encouraged by it, but most of all, that we accept it, and that we follow it. That the change in our heart isn't just superficial or for our own knowledge inside, but a change of heart that drives us forward, that makes us be what you need us and call us to be. Let us be your living sacrifice, your perfect worship. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. I always find certain parts of Acts very interesting, because in our modern day world, we've come to understand certain things about the church, that the church is a building you come to, that it's a sense of coming together and edifying each other, but it's also a sense of safety. But in all essence, the church was to encourage each other to do exactly what Philip is doing, is to be out and taking on the task that God brings forth and calls us into, that he has purposed us to do. It's to give us the strength so when we walk away from the church body that we can endure the battles. That's Ephesians 6, the armor of God wasn't so that we could put it all nice and shiny on a shelf and put it on and stay inside our little enclave. It was so that we could put it on and walk into the battle and survive the battle. And then at the end of the day, you come home and you put it back up and you polish and you get ready for the next day's battle. But in some way, some shape, some form, we have retreated from that. We have lost our ability to be bold and to be encouraged and to be strengthened by the word of God. And we sit inside our buildings out of fear of being mocked or made fun of or being told that we're intolerable. See, all those things that they wage against us, they waged against Philip and all the other disciples and all the early believers. But they had something we didn't, I think. That was an ear to God. They were listening for what God was telling them each and every day. They weren't sitting back. They weren't holding back. They weren't afraid of what was to happen because they knew they had the Spirit of God. They knew they were ready to meet whatever came on the journey. And so here we find Philip. So he's sitting, and he hears the angel of the Lord arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There's nothing else other than to get up and go. Go do something. Follow the decree of the angel of the Lord. There's no, hey, you're going to go and you're going to meet a eunuch who's going to become a believer. There's no words passed. Just get up and go. But Philip had his heart open to hear what God was directing him to do. And he didn't question it. He just said, okay, fine, you want me to go south? I'll go south. It's the beauty of when you're listening to God, you don't need the full instruction at the time. You just start walking the path. And then God, as we'll see here in a second, will speak to us and let us know what we're to do as we walk that path. But we need to walk the path first. We need to show that we are willing to be obedient to where he calls us to go. Otherwise, we find ourselves sitting, idle, broken, and disobedient. And so Philip gets up and he goes forward and he starts moving south. And it's not an easy journey between Jerusalem and Gaza. I don't know if you've seen a map lately or even seen pictures of it, but when it says this is desert, they mean this is desert. There's barely anything that grows out there. That's why Israel didn't stay in that area. They continued north up into the fertile lands because this was an area that you couldn't grow anything. It was hot. It was miserable. It's hot all the time there. There's never a nice day there. It is always just hot. And so he takes on the journey, and so he arose and he went. I think that's a huge issue. That's the second part, is that not only do we have to be opening our hearts to hear what God does, but we also have to prepare our hearts to go when we hear God. The question I have for you is how often have you heard God say, hey, go and do this, share the word with this person, be generous here in this person, be sacrificial in your love to this person, but yet because you may have heard what he said, but you haven't prepared your heart to actually activate on that, to move forward with that, to prepare yourself to be what he has called you to be, it gets undone and it doesn't get shared or it doesn't get brought up at a time of need. But see, luckily we have an example of Philip who says, fine, I hear you, and I've prepared my heart to go where you are sending me. And whatever that mission may be, whatever that journey may entail, he goes. He says, so he rose and he went, and behold, as he's going, he sees a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So here we have a man of great esteem inside his culture. In fact, he's entrusted with the entire treasury of an entire kingdom. And Ethiopia was a big kingdom back then. It was called the kingdom of the Upper Nile. And it was immense. It was probably bigger than Egypt was at any point in its time. So it was a big deal. And here he is, he's coming down. And obviously he's probably Jewish from the understanding that he's up in Jerusalem worshiping. And he's dedicated because he's traveling all this distance. And of course, back then, traveling was a dangerous thing. You couldn't just hop on the I-90 and run in 2 hours down to Chicago like we can. It took days and days and days to make it just a little ways. And so he gets up and he sees this man and he starts going on. And what does he do? He hears the Spirit, go near and overtake this chariot. Not what's going to happen when he does it. Again, he's getting told part command. Just go up there. Just get to it. So I'm guessing the chariot's probably either being pulled by a group of men or by a horse, more than likely, is what would have been common back by this time of day and age. And so he's going to have to hoof it a bit. Have you ever tried to keep up with a horse, even when it's just kind of walking along the road? Not an easy task. And so he's going to have to hoof it. So he runs and he overcomes it. And what does he do? He hears. He hears the eunuch reading from the prophet of Isaiah, this great prophecy. So I can just imagine as he runs up there and he starts hearing, he's like, and he hears this, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. I can just imagine as Philip hears this, as he comes up onto it, that suddenly the Holy Spirit doesn't need to speak to him because he knows exactly why he's been brought to this moment. It's a confusing piece of scripture, right? If you don't have a context within it, if you don't know that the prophet's talking about the future Messiah, the one to come to save all of humanity, to bring him back to a place where humanity can be the child of God again. And Philip suddenly hears it. But this wouldn't have happened if Philip wouldn't have gone when God called him to do so. He'd already been walking all this distance. We don't know how long the journey was before he comes to the chariot. But I'm guessing he might have been tired. I'm guessing he could have been thirsty and hungry. But when he hears, go and overtake the chariot, he goes. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't tell the Holy Spirit, I'm tired. Can't we do this some other way? Can't you make the horse get like a stone in his foot or something like that to slow it down? I can't do it. He simply says, okay, and he does it. And what comes of it is a beautiful story of a person who is introduced to Jesus Christ with the knowledge of what the world had taught him up to this point, simply being taught who Jesus Christ was in relation to that leads to a baptism that instantly happens. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip breaks into what? The three circles, probably. Or something very similar to it. A capturing of the gospels, explain who Jesus Christ is, starting with this. Well, this, we know this. This is Isaiah telling us who the Messiah would be and what it would look like for it when he came. And let me tell you, this is who Jesus Christ is. And he goes and he begins to explain Jesus Christ, and he moves through the life of Christ and who he was and how he meets and answers this on the cross. And the eunuch, being educated and knowing the scriptures and knowing all the other prophets' speakings and teachings and all the other scriptures that Philip probably broke down into and explained to him on this journey. And again, we don't know how long this journey was. We just know that they traveled together for a while. This wasn't something that just happened like, oh, it's Jesus Christ, and then it happened. They explain and they talk. See, that's the relational aspect of our relationship between each other, rooted in Jesus Christ. And so they come together, and the result is the eunuch sitting there saying, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. The power of the story of Christ is way more than we can ever, but our hearts have to be prepared to go when he calls us. We have to be listening for his call. We have to be preparing ourselves for when that call shows up. But most of all, we need to act when God shows us the way. Here, poor Philip never knew what his end goal was. He simply knew he had to get up and take a really long journey through a really not fun place. And then once he got to a certain part on that journey, he didn't know what he was going to do when he got there, but he knew he had to overtake a chariot because the Holy Spirit told him, hey, through the Spirit, you need to go and take that, go over and be by that chariot. He didn't know what he was going to do when he got there. The Holy Spirit didn't say, hey, listen, I need you to hit this road and overcome a chariot, because in that chariot is a eunuch from Ethiopia, who you're going to share the word of God with, who's going to be converted, be baptized, and leave the place of joy in his heart. See, Philip didn't know any of that. Philip just knew he needed to get up and start moving. He needed to know that he needed to keep his ears open and start listening to what God was asking him to do. How do we do that? Where are we in our journey? How are we handling ourselves in those aspects? Do we listen for God's voice? See, today we're told that's, I guess I'll use the word freakish. If someone walks up to you and says, I heard the voice of God tell me that I need to be doing this, most of us sit there and go, okay, hold on a second. But the fact is the Holy Spirit does sit upon us. He does dwell within us, and God does speak through him to us. And sometimes it's not a verbal. In fact, I'm not even 100% sure that when they say that he heard the voice, and it seems like it because it's in quotations, and that this was probably an audible voice that Philip heard to arise and go toward the south along the road, and then again to go near and overtake the chariot. They're in quotations, so I'm guessing that when Luke heard the story, Philip probably told him that, yeah, I heard the voice, which would be so amazing to be part of and to hear. But sometimes it's just simply a feeling that's so overwhelming that you can't ignore it anymore. It's so deep in our hearts, it's so deep in our bodies that it actually causes a physical discomfort when we're walking away from it. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I sure have. Or when I've heard God directing me in a certain path, and instead of going down that path, I kind of fight against it, and my body starts feeling the experience of going against God or walking away from him. And I feel the tension or the stomach ache that comes with it, or else I can't sleep, or my muscles are tense and I get headaches or whatever it may be until I come into the will of God, and suddenly all that goes away. So God speaks to us in many different ways, but we need to be attuned to it. We need to be listening for it, and we need to be ready and prepared to handle it and move on with it. And if this story isn't amazing enough, at the very end when we start in 38, he says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And so he's converted. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. There was no endearing relationship that lasted past that. Baptism happened, and as they came up out of the water, it wasn't like the eunuch said, hey, ride with me for a while, you're my good friend, let's keep on going. No, see, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip again and caught him and called him away, and he simply got up out of the water. Hey, this is great. Go and rejoice in God. And he went on his way. He went to the next place. See, Philip was so ready to hear and move when God spoke in his life that the second that what God had sent him to do was done, he was ready to move on to the next purpose that God had placed in his way. And we need to be the same way. We need to be ready to act when God calls us. When God shows us that way, we really need to be moving towards it. And it moves from time to time to time. It's not like we get one message and it stops. We get one message, and then when that's complete, then there's the next one. We need to be hearing and listening for it. Because if we're not, then we're back to sitting idle. And when we're idle, then the flesh has a lot more power in our lives than when we're listening actively to God. How do we listen to God? We pray, and we listen, and we interact, and we read Scripture and hear what he has to say and how it speaks to us in our hearts. We come together as a body, and we talk and we share each other's experiences so that we can have some discernment between each other. Like, yeah, that sounds like that might be something that God would have or say in this time. So through praying, through studying, through coming together and praying and teaching and working together, we can truly hear what the Word of God is and what his commands are in our lives and where he's directing us. Inside the ministry, we're told to evaluate an internal and an external call. The internal call is that of God speaking into us. What do we feel as a person, God speaking to us? But the external is as important, and if it's not there, then we shouldn't be entering into the ministry. And the external is everyone around us sitting there saying, yes, we see this to be true in your life also. See, there was an external validation to Philip's actions. He heard the internal call to go on this road, to walk and do what he was called to do. He heard what he was supposed to hear, the scripture being read and having the conversation. And then the validation, the external validation, was this eunuch accepting Jesus Christ into his heart and asking to be baptized. That was the external. So sometimes it's a one-on-one external, or maybe it's a situational external, but sometimes it's an entire body coming alongside of us and saying, yes, we see this, we validate this, you are being called in this way, and we can walk through it. So in the last several weeks, we've been talking about the power of the gospel and how to share it effectively. But now I need you to stop and think, are you hearing God? Do you have an ear open to him? Are you listening for what his commands are? Are you hearing the small nuances of what he's doing in your day in and day out life? Or have you turned your ear away? Have you become so attuned to all the static that the world throws that you can't even hear the word of the Creator of all things as he speaks it to you? See, the gospel is only as powerful as those of us who carry it. Because if we don't carry it and say it, it never gets heard. The challenge to share the three circles with one person and teach the three circles to one person was a simple challenge. It's one person. It's not overly taxing. It may be a little bit scary, don't get me wrong. The first couple times I shared Jesus Christ with someone was a scary experience for myself. And I'm sure that each and every one of us has that issue because we're outside of our comfort zone, because the world has told us that we're going to be called names, or that we're going to be told that we're stupid, or that we're going to be told that what the message we bring says is hurtful. But see, if we concentrate on the gospel, there's no hurt in it, only healing. There's no evil, no malice, only love. And even though we may be a little scared of what names may be called, there's a song by DC Talk many years ago about being called a Jesus freak. We as followers of Christ should revel in being called a Jesus freak. We should sit there and say, yes, that's who I am, and I'm very happy that I am Jesus's. Because there is strength beyond belief. There is hope in my heart, and I have joy everlasting. And so as you come into this, as you hear Philip, as he got up out of his bed, as he heard the angel speak to arise and go toward the south, to overcome the chariot, open your ears to when God has those messages for you. It probably won't be a chariot that you're going to overcome. And nowadays with cars, it's a little hard to keep up with those going down the road. And if you try to with your car, there's probably going to be a police officer having a conversation with you. But maybe it's at work someday. Maybe it's simply as you hear God sitting there saying, hey, listen, that person that's in the next cash register over is having a really hard day. Go share my love with that person. Out of all your fear, out of all your concern for what might be said, listen to God. Prepare your heart to simply walk and do what he's asked you to do. He may not always tell you what that conversation is going to be or the outcome of it. Philip didn't have that answer. I wouldn't expect that we would always have that answer, but sometimes it may be there. But if it's not, be obedient and follow. And go share God's love at that moment. If it's another student at school who you can see is having a difficult time, then go ahead and share that. Don't be scared of it. And yes, they may call you names and they may say things that are hurtful, but at the same time, you're planting the seed of where they can truly find hope in their life, where they can overcome all that darkness or brokenness that's in their life. See, we're not called to be the converter. That's the Holy Spirit that comes into the moment. But we're definitely called to be the messenger. We're definitely called to carry the message to where it needs to be heard, and then let the Holy Spirit do his work. Philip didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He didn't even know what he was going to get when he got up to that chariot. He just simply knew that he was to follow God's will and to get up to it, to see what God was doing, to answer the call that was given to him. And so my challenge this week to you is this. Open your ears, whether it's your actual ear or your heart, to what God is speaking to you. Prepare your heart to answer that call, no matter how difficult it may seem or how scary the circumstance may find it to be placed in. open your heart and prepare it to follow. And when he calls, be prepared to go. For when you do what God calls you to do, there is strength beyond what you yourself carries. And there is a hope and a love that is deeper and rooted in something that is everlasting that you're bringing to the situation that no one else is going to bring. No matter how wise the world may feel that it is or finds intelligence in, only God is truly wise, and only his ways are truly good. And so push off your fear, push off the situation's difficulty, and answer God's call. For when we act, when God shows us the way, great and powerful things happen. Eunuchs from Ethiopia become baptized and take that message, a joyous message, as it says here in 39, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Ethiopia eventually became one of the culminating and strongest places of Christian theology. Many people don't realize that, but actually Jerusalem and the areas around it were not heavy areas of Christianity. It's what we read in Scripture, but everything that happened after happened outside of that little area mostly. And Ethiopia was one of the largest and most prolific places for exploring what it meant to be a Christian. In fact, they are recapturing that, and they send out tons of missionaries worldwide every year with the Word of God. Now, I don't know if that's all from Philip being faithful to the Holy Spirit and meeting this eunuch along the road, but it's the only one where we get a message where Ethiopia hears of Jesus Christ and moves on in Scripture. So I'd like to think there's probably some pretty serious relationship between the two. But the fact is one person answering God's call, being faithful to it, and being willing to do what the Holy Spirit leads them to do can change the world drastically for God. So where is your story going to end? The story that you share with God, or you can continue to walk it each and every day, obedient to his callings and to his leadings and to the will that he sets you on? Or are you ready for it to end today? My prayer and my hope is that you are willing to explore it and continue to drive on with it, to be a Philip with your ears and your heart open to God's teachings and leadings and willing to do whatever the task is, so that the Holy Spirit can work his miracles and change the world around us. Be a Philip and follow God's course. Amen.